saying God is giving him time, or he's giving it to us. And most people they can thank God by giving up. Giving up what God wants us to surrender. And approach God in our everlasting hope. From whom we expect to be saved. Everything that we need. Amen. And the offended Lord, against whom we have sinned, and the person of the all of us collectively, we then beg for his mercy and heaven. We never think, should never think, that life is too difficult. Or painful. We all have so much revelation from sin. Now we ask ourselves, why must we go? It must be because God is God. And we are we. He must pray before God wants us to adore him by telling him he is the only true love. We live in a world in which so many Christians are living in a and the only remedy for this widespread adoration of creatures is to adore the one true God. God wants us to tell him how much we love him. Why? Because he is so great. Nothing can compare with the greatness of God. God is so good to us, good to the world in which we live. We have to remind ourselves every so often, at least once a day, except for God. We would not exist. We are a human soul. We are a human being. Only because God made us. Made us human beings. We're living in a world in which God as creator is wide. I mean this world is widely doubted and even denied. We believe that God is merciful. He knows sin and he must bring his mercy. And that's why the way is why God allows us to see it. And having sinned, they might beg for his mercy and never complain that life is too hard. The longest life we live on earth is nothing compared to the life of eternity. God wants us to tell him we love him because he is so powerful and except for him nothing and there is nothing but he would exist. God did not have to create the world. He did all miracles. He loves us. God is so loving and has to have become in order to at least attract our love for him. God has become one of us and wants to thank him for all that he has given to us. And we should thank him by anticipation for all that he has promised to give us. Not just in time, but for all eternity. So far, reflection on our life, we must adore God. God wants us to beg him, begging for his mercy. It makes this a condition for showing his mercy to us. Unless we recognize we are sinners and not begging for mercy. If deeply offended, he wants us to beg and keep begging for his pardon. Now we make a match. And the main reason for these comments. How can we improve our practice of prayer? And now getting the last year of the 20th century. Not coincidentally, that 99 years have preceded us. God wants us to improve our practice of prayer so that these gods, at the end of the 21st century, they will labor, struggle, work to bring God back to the minds and hearts of millions who have by means have given up their faith in God. For our purpose, we will concentrate on three recommendations to improve our prayer. By our deeper humility, by our sincerity, and by our greater intimacy with God. What do we mean when we say that to improve our practice of prayer by growing in humility? All of us, every day, are humiliated. We tell you, we need humiliations. You need a reminding. God gives us the opportunity of being humiliated. We'll say things to us or above us, before we thank you. Thank God. And we are to avoid one of the main purposes of giving this short retreat of less than 2 days. I'll ask our Lord for enlightenment. Oh, boy. here at the moment's self-gratification or self-complacent thought. When you're using strange words, well, the idea behind these words is not meant to be strange at all. First, accept humiliations that God sends you. When you do some stupid things, God wants us to be fools in our own eyes. To say something which is stupid. Do things with the eyes of others makes you look foolish. We need humiliation. Period. We all need humility. Without living on the muscle of each one. And the only assured way of growing in humility is by being humiliated. We need it. But I know human nature so well. I know this sinner myself too well. We have a temptation and urge to think, what shall I say, nice thoughts about ourselves. Self-praise, I mean, self-adoration is a constant temptation to every human being. Avoid even a moment's reflection on yourself who may appear in your eyes with intelligence, qualities. The moment we hold a self-complacent form and in your mind put aside. Secondly, we are to grow in our humility. We must grow in an active self-sincerity. Oh, how important this is in dealing with people. But the most important thing before whom we should always practice sincerity. Is gone. I have it in one recounting sentence. Always be one with God. Tell him what you really are. In the word, be honest with God. What a statement. Oh, I'll be clear. Keep no secrets from God. He wants us to be totally open with Him. And this means, for some people I know what I'm talking about. Open your hearts fully, frankly, completely to God. Of course, you do this quietly. You do this silently. No one needs either hear or see what before God. You consider yourself. Be open with God. The moment you do something wrong, immediately admit it to God. And receive it from God. God is always aware of us. What a strange statement. We are not always aware of Him. The one person who is most frequently uncomfortable on our minds, do I have to say it, is we. God is in all things, and you've got to believe it. Of course, it's been everything that is pleasant, which we learn. God is also always present in what is painful. I know what I'm talking about. In my years as a preacher, I've gone with so many souls over their hearts to this sinner. How we need to think of God when we are in pain. God is present in the unexpected. God knows exactly what will happen to us when we finish the retreat. God knows exactly what will occur tomorrow. We are to trust Him and see Him how we need in everything. In the least experience of your life, see God. Shall I say, develop the habit of being aware of God. They make noise. Is it a pleasant? Is it a painful? A mind of beyond life with these creatures. We should always, this retreat will have been, shall we say, successful. And we'll learn to always be thinking of God. And that is why most times I tell you, I mean it. Spend some time before the Blessed Sacrament every day. And ask our Lord to deepen your faith. How desperate we need this. We need to be constantly aware of God, especially in things that are painful. God is the name is the author of everything in our lives. We spontaneously thank Him for what is present. We should just as spontaneously thank Him for what is painful. The dawn of the church's history, the obligation to pray was identified with the first commandment. What I'm sharing with you in this meditation is the most fundamental obligation of our faith. The most fundamental duty we have as believing Catholics is to think of God and speak with God. But nobody will do this for us. But even God, to replace our own minds and wills in order to be expected is a first level, especially level against the practice of idolatry. And I say this on the full eyes of what I am telling you. The old nasty flow of idolatry will I say nasty program to be so preoccupied with creatures as to even forget. I don't think you speak to God, but even the thing of Him. I cannot be too clear or too strong in recommending the practice of thinking of God. May I first of all recommend that the first thing you do to get up in the morning is speak to God. The reason is a real one is talking to God. From the first thing in the morning to the last thing you do at night. Talk to God. Amen. He'll be known. So then maybe ourselves, they like to talk. They like to talk to whom? To other human beings. But the one being to whom we should always be speaking, with whom we always be in conversation, is God. What does He mean? I must, first of all, make a habit of being reminded of God. Now I suggest you ask yourself, what do I have in my heart? Do I have holy pictures on the wall? Do I have statues or other statuettes? Do I have one important question? Do I have good, sound, Catholic reading in the house? I ask you to ask yourselves, how much time do you spend each day in doing what the Church calls spiritual reading? Oh dear Lord, how many Catholics have all kinds of books, of all filled books, but not just having the writing in your home, it is reading it. I repeat, I strongly recommend you spend some time every day in what the Church calls spiritual reading. It may be done by a member of the family, but at least it should be done by yourself. I can think of no single recommendation of this retreat will basically import that it spend some time every day, don't go to bed at night, as you spend at least 15 minutes in a day in doing some spiritual reading. Maybe the scriptures, maybe the life of some saint, maybe a book about the spiritual life. We need, don't just be we need, to read about God or the saints who love God. I am told they have demanded, I've said nothing before, they have often spent many hours a week in reading. I watch too many people read the newspapers, the magazines, in the name of God. Before you finish this retreat, make an examination of conscience. What am I reading? Be sure that reading is especially good, sound, healthy literature. I think I should say this. 10 years ago, promised the Lord I would never read anything merely secular. Lord, our minds are shaped. What's on our minds? What's on our minds is what we listen to and what we read. I repeat what I've said before. Idolatry is much more widespread sin than most people realize. In times, idolatry over the centuries has meant and still means invoking someone or something with a human mind that should be spent in thinking of God. Our focus of this meditation is on prayer. That was a duty which flows logically from the fact that we are creatures whose first duty is to adore God. We shall adore God only as much as we think of God. Let me be very clear. Why do you suppose God sends us trials and difficulties, suffering, sorrow and pain, for to make us think of Him, ask Him to help us, ask Him to make us realize how helpless we are without Him. This is what our prayer should be. Our prayer should be, first of all, a conscious adoration of God. We should think of God. Our prayer is expressed adoration. We pray only as much as we have God in our minds. Prayer and communication upon the mind and nails of the government. How important this is. How we have all shall have the same temper to share our thoughts with others. And ask yourselves, and this includes myself, ask ourselves, how much of the day are you thinking of God? Are you speaking with Him? Where is conversation with our adorable God? We shall adore Him only as much as He is in our minds. Where the voluntary response to the words of God's adorable presence. In this meditation, we ask ourselves, how can we improve our practice of prayer? We identify the main forms of prayer. Adoration, by telling God, we completely depend on Him. Every day, by meals, many times, tell God, Lord, I love you. Jesus, my God, I love you. It is impossible to exaggerate the importance of that of affection towards God and His act of affection as He knows are not the only words. How important this is, that the matter that we love God, we sacrifice. We give up what we personally like to show how deeply we love Him. Behind this act of adoring God by telling Him to love Him means, and believe it, means accepting lovingly what He sends and puts into our lives that is unpleasant, that is painful, that is difficult. I've called with too many people. I've spoken with too many Catholic believers. Not to know that so many forget to adore God when they have to undergo pain. And the deepest pain, as I've said so often, is not in the body. The deepest pain is in our souls. And come our Lord, I would not accept His cause, embrace it, accept that I love you, you, my crucified Jesus. I think I've recommended this before. Somewhere near you, in all, is on my desk. There should be crucifix. Cultivate the habit coming to your home or room to kiss the crucifix as an act of adoration of the God who became man out of love for you, died on the cross. Thank you. First of all, for the pleasant things that he sends you. But what a recommendation. Thank him for the suffering, the pain that he sends you. A cup of wine, directing in Detroit. Then, three children. Two of the three children abandoned God. And the parents love their children, especially those given up their faith. I told the mother and father, as you keep praying and begging God, bring your children back to himself. They are loyal to God, estranged from God. I want to ask for the raising of hands, but I know there are many parents, who have at least one, sometimes several children, given up their faith. And to pray, pray, and beg the new Lord for the return of these children to the God whom they abandoned. That is why God, I repeat, sends us trials. We might turn to God and plead with him to solve the problem that I have, restore the parts of my affection for my love, and our weakness in our love. We are to love God as our Creator, from whom we came, and except for God, none of us would exist. He could exist, shall I say, as puppies or kittens, as flies or wasps. A fly or a wasp or a worm has no more claim to existence than you and I have. Am I clear? We exist only as human beings because God loves us and loves us so dearly. He has given us a human mind with which we can know him and a human heart with which we can love him. And I say this with deep conviction from years of experience. The more suffering God sends you, the more pain you experience, the more deeply and sincerely you can love God. I see more than you probably think I'm telling you. There is nothing unites the human heart more closely with God than suffering. Thank God for the suffering in your lives. Because the main seal of the God has in giving us the cross, in might, by embracing the cross, think of God and talk even better. Dear Lord, I love you. I love you in the pain that I have. I love you and a number of people who have estranged themselves from me. There's also the prayer, how this must be said, the pearl of gratitude. Cultivate the habit every day of thanking God for what He has given you through the day. For me, remember sentence. Teenagers, first day of the ministry, teaches us how to make a daily examination of conscience. And the first thing we need to do to begin our exam of conscience is, in the evening, thank God for the grace He's given me, especially here. But paying for graces, thank God for the pain He has sent you. Thank you for the present things He has given you. Thank you for the disappointments. Thank you for the sorrow. Thank God. I'm repeating nation directly. Begin your prayer, raise your commands, Lord, thanking God. In the evening, reflect what God has given you through the day that was pleasant or painful. Thank God. Remember our last petition.
Thank you.
among the things which reflect Lord, especially when I have failed, even talking to certain people, in my kindness. I know we've heard about this before. We want to know how we look at people. There is such a thing as looking at people, what shall I say, painfully. Tell me if I've ever told you to do this. Keep the manifestation of pain for your every God. What people most desperately need is encouragement. The more pleasant we can look when we talk to people, unless we talk about our sorrows and trials with people, one who misunderstands, share your trials, share your sorrows, but with whom? With God. Cultivate the habit. He don't know what costume you have, or to ask your husband or your children. How present am I? There are some people who during the day seem to be always in pain. When I say smile, I am not indulging in a joke. People need, I know what I'm saying, people need to be smiled at. There are sorrows and pains in everyone's life. What people need is encouragement, and we have a duty, and needs, we have a duty to encourage everyone in his own life. This therefore means, one, we are to expiate our failure in serving God by giving ourselves more generously to everyone whom God puts in our lives. Oh, how slow we can be to talk to some people. And look at them pleasantly. Boy, how we need a code of expiation. Beyond this classification of prayer is the unspoken assumption. While all prayer is essentially adoration, that's the heart of prayer. However, we are to adore God, shall we repeat in five different ways. We are to adore God by acts of submission, accepting from his hands whatever he sends us, that our favor may be. We love to pray and speak to God by thanking him. Thank you for the good thing that he liked. Thank you for the pain that he has sent us. We are to pray by acts of petition, begging God for what we need. And the greater our need, the more we should pray. We have prayed to God our lives of expiation. We look for things we have failed in the past. Oh, what a public confession I could make. Of course I know. Expiate our past life while doing the very things we failed the past in not doing. And finally, and most importantly, we are to pray with our hearts deeply and dearly loving God. Our loves be loved. Does God need our love? No, He is God. But we need Him. And we should come to Him with the deepest love of our hearts. And the more pain, the more suffering He sends us, the more profoundly we should love God. Lord Jesus, You are our God. You became man on the suffering line of the cross out of love for us. Give back to You, Lord. Give us a share in Your cross. We love You as You love us. Offering up to You everything in our lives, especially the suffering and the pain, because that is how You, our God, show Your love for us, make by dying